Welcome friends to Literature Mantra. I'm Harsh Singh, and in this audio we will discuss Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. Now first of all, Karl Marx. Now Karl Marx doesn't require any introduction because Marxist literary theory is not possible without Karl Marx. But for those students who are new to literary theory, a little bit of introduction of Karl Marx. Karl Marx was born in 1818 and he died in 1883. And Karl Marx is not just famous as a political philosopher, but he is also considered to be an economic theorist and a revolutionary, because his ideas have inspired revolutions, be it the Russian Revolution, the Chinese Revolution. All of them have been inspired by Karl Marx's ideas. Now, Karl Marx studied humanities at the University of Bonn, which is in Germany, and law and philosophy at the University of Berlin. And during his university days, he was exposed to the works of Hegel, G.W.F. Hegel. And he is best known for two works. One is called The Communist Manifesto, and the other is called Das Kapital. And Das Kapital was a voluminous work. It is in four volumes. And Karl Marx's political and philosophical thought has had an enormous influence on subsequent intellectual, economic, as well as political history. And as I said, that it is his ideas that have inspired revolutions. But during his lifetime, you know, because of his political publications, Karl Marx became stateless. You know, he was exiled from Germany. So effectively, he became stateless and he lived in exile with his wife and children in London for, you know, decades. And it is here that he continued to develop his thought in collaboration with his German philosopher friend, Friedrich Engels. And it is in London that he published many of his writings. And though, you know, in many places you will find that Karl Marx is referred to as a philosopher, but his work cannot be reduced to a kind of philosophy, because the whole, or let's say most of his work, is a radical critique of philosophy, especially the philosophy of Hegel, G.W.F. Hegel. Hegel was famous for the idealist system, and Karl Marx's work is not just a denial of those philosophies of Hegel, because Karl Marx said that one could not be content with just interpreting the world. One must be concerned with transforming it. And there is a very famous quotation by Karl Marx where he says that, quote, "The philosophers have hitherto only interpreted the world in various ways. The point, however, is to change it," unquote. So, matlab kya iska? That philosophers up till that time were busy just interpreting the world. But interpreting the world is not enough. You need to make interpretation into reality, and not just reality, but you must have a formula to change existing realities. So rather than limit yourself only to interpreting the world, you should focus more on changing the world, hana? Then you can regard philosophy of some use or some practical value. Just interpretation is not enough. So this is what the point of Karl Marx is, and Karl Marx declared that philosophy must become reality. But even Karl Marx agreed that all of this required a critique of experience together with the critique of existing ideas. Because the word critique doesn't mean only criticism. The word critique means critically analyzing something. And for Karl Marx, it meant critically analyzing something in order to come up with solutions, come up with a formula to change society for the better. And he famously also says that human history is a series of class struggles. Okay? So he wants to say that human societies develop through class conflict or class struggles. Means there is struggle between different classes of people. And in a capitalist mode of production, this manifests itself in the conflict between ruling classes. And who are those ruling classes? One is the bourgeoisie that controls the means of production. And the other is the working class or the proletariat, which survives by selling its labor power, whether it be physical labor or mental labor. And in return, they are paid wages. And Karl Marx employed a critical approach called historical materialism. And he predicted that capitalism produced internal tensions like previous socio-economic systems, like feudalism, for example. And that these tensions would lead to a self-destruction of capitalism and replacement of capitalism by a new system known as a socialist mode of production. And ultimately, workers will come to power, and eventually, after they come to power, there will be a classless society as well as a stateless society. But in between, there will also be dictatorship of the proletariat. Now, this is where many people disagree with Karl Marx. Because nobody, let's say, no right-thinking person or no sensible person would say that there should be dictatorship of any kind. हो सकता है कि आपका aim जो है, or let's say your aim might be very noble, very grand, right? But in between, if you are saying that dictatorship will come, there are many people who will disagree with you. And this is what has happened with Marxism, that till the point Karl Marx gives the analysis of society as being a kind of class struggle, most people will agree. But when he talks about the dictatorship of proletariat, many people disagree. Many intellectuals disagree with Karl Marx here. But keep in mind that you should know few terms, especially from the point of view of an exam. For example, what is historical materialism? And historical materialism is not the same as dialectical materialism. So don't confuse between these two. After that, who are the two classes which Karl Marx talks about? One is the bourgeoisie, or that class which controls the means of production, and the other is working class. Of course, there are some classes which are in between these two, but they are not that significant. From an exam point of view, just remember that bourgeoisie ek to hai, and second is proletariat, or the working class, or those people who sell their labor, mental or physical labor, to get wages. Now, after this, let me read out a small paragraph from one of the works of Karl Marx. It's called Contribution to the Critique of Political Economy. Okay, Contribution to the Critique of Political Economy. And this came out in 1859. In this, there is a very famous paragraph. Quote, in the social production that men carry on, they enter into definite relations that are indispensable and independent of their will. Relations of production which correspond to a definite stage of development of their material forces of production. The sum total of these relations of production constitutes the economic structure of society, the real foundation on which rises a legal and political superstructure, and to which correspond definite forms of social consciousness. The mode of production in material life determines the general character of social, political, and intellectual processes of life. It is not consciousness of men which determines their existence. It is, on the contrary, their social existence that determines their consciousness. Unquote. So, this last line is very important. That it is not the consciousness of men which determines their existence. On the contrary, it is their social existence which determines their consciousness. Or in other words, you can say that it is not ideas which determine the material conditions in society, but the material conditions which determine ideas or ideals of a society. Okay? You may argue that both of these influence each other. But broadly speaking, the material conditions influence ideals rather than the other way around. This is the point of Karl Marx. So from an exam point of view, you should know the important works of Karl Marx. Then the important terms that he has propounded, for example, historical materialism. And also some important quotations of Karl Marx. Now let's go through some of the quotations of Karl Marx. Some of the important quotations of Karl Marx. First is, quote, from each according to his abilities, to each according to his needs, unquote. From each according to his abilities, to each according to his needs. After that, quote, let the ruling classes tremble at a communist revolution. The proletarians have nothing to lose but their chains. They have a world to win. Workers of the world, unite, unquote. Okay, I'll repeat that once more. Let the ruling classes tremble at a communist revolution. The proletarians have nothing to lose but their chains. They have a world to win. Workers of the world, unite. Then another important quotation by Karl Marx is on religion. Okay, religion is the sigh of the oppressed creature, the feelings of a heartless world, just as it is the spirit of unspiritual conditions. It is the opium of the people, unquote. Quote, religion is the sigh of the oppressed creature, the feelings of a heartless world, just as it is the spirit of unspiritual conditions. It is the opium of the people, unquote. Then another important quotation is, quote, a specter is haunting Europe, the specter of communism, unquote. Okay, a specter is haunting Europe, the specter of communism. Then another quotation by Marx is on history. Quote, Hegel remarks somewhere that all great world historic facts and personages appear, so to speak, twice. He forgot to add the first time as tragedy and the second time as farce, unquote. Okay, so you might have heard the quotation that history repeats itself once as tragedy and the second time as farce. So, usi ke upar aaiye. And one more famous quotation of Karl Marx is, the history of all hitherto existing society is the history of class struggles. Okay, quote, the history of all hitherto existing society is the history of class struggles, unquote. Now, after this, let's talk about his partner, Friedrich Engels. Engels was born in 1820 and he died in 1895. So, Engels died later. That's why he could edit some of the works of Karl Marx. Now, who was Friedrich Engels besides being the collaborator and friend of Karl Marx? He was a socialist philosopher. And as a young man, just like Karl Marx, he too developed an interest in the philosophy of Hegel, or G.W.F. Hegel. And he became convinced that the logical consequence of Hegelianism and dialectic was communism. And after meeting Karl Marx, he became his permanent friend, or let's say partner, and collaborated in promoting the socialist movement. And they co-authored some of the important works, such as the Communist Manifesto, which came out in 1848. And after the death of Karl Marx in 1883, Engels served as the foremost authority on Karl Marx and Marxism. And aside from his own books, Engels completed volume 2 and volume 3 of Das Kapital on the basis of Karl Marx's uncompleted manuscripts and rough notes. Because as I said earlier, that Das Kapital has been written in 4 volumes. The first volume was written totally by Karl Marx, but after the death of Karl Marx, volume 2 and volume 3 were edited by and completed by Friedrich Engels. And along with the work, The Communist Manifesto, there is one more work which both of these writers co-authored. It's called The German Ideology. Okay, The German Ideology and then The Communist Manifesto. These guys collaborated and they finished it collaboratively. And alone, Engels has also written some works, some very famous works. One is The Condition of the Working Class in England. Okay, The Condition of the Working Class in England. Uske baad, The Origin of the Family, Private Property and the State. Okay, The Origin of the Family, Private Property and the State. These two are very important and very famous works written by Friedrich Engels. So you should remember this from an exam point of view. These are important.